verse and read through the end of the chapter, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. May God add his blessing to this reading and our hearing of his holy word. Please be seated. In the first verse of the book of Proverbs, we can see that there's a contrast drawn between a wise woman and a foolish woman, and it has to do with that which she does with her home, with her family, with the house. The principle is that a woman's faith and conduct has important consequences for her home and for her family. Those consequences may be both immediate as well as distant. A woman who hears and acts upon the Lord's precepts will build a godly line, and that's the meaning of the word house. A house is more than a building. In fact, it is more than a generation. For instance, you see the Word of God speaking of the house of David. It wasn't just speaking to the structure in which he built, nor was it just referring to his immediate family, but his descendants. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ being of the house and the lineage of David. It was that great heritage that he had. It was the future that God gave to him by way of covenant. And so a woman who hears and acts upon the Lord's precepts will build a godly line. I'm going to be speaking to women tonight. That doesn't mean I want you men to drop out. What I want you to do is I want to hear and understand what precious gems you have in your wives. And your responsibility is also to raise your daughters to be this kind of a woman. So don't drop out. And you ladies, I want to start off with you too, because you read this 31st chapter of Proverbs and you say, "Super mom, you know, super woman here. I don't want you to get under the pile either." Remember that that God makes us what we are. He sets before us very high standards. So I don't want you to be discouraged, but I want you to see what the Lord will make you as you submit your heart and your life to Him. So there's something for all of us here this evening, so don't any of you drop out. But understand that what you wives do, and I want to emphasize this again, because in our culture, what we are seeing is the life of the homemaker being put down, and when in fact, and that's Satan's lie, when in fact you as wives and mothers can have a profound impact not only upon your children but upon the future as well, if you will take the Lord at his word and will respond to him and be the wise woman who builds her house and not the foolish who tears it down with her own hands. So the wise woman is one who hears and acts upon the Lord's precepts. And the foolish woman is one who disregards the Lord's precepts and her place in God's economy, and in that way destroys her family and its future. Now, it doesn't take too much to look around and see that which is taking place. You can see that truth being worked out in our own culture today. Women have become convinced that the home is too restrictive a place for them to use their gifts and abilities. And there has been a lure. And we aren't talking here about those of you who may have to work outside the home by way of necessity. We know that there are a lot of things that happen in that way. But I want you to understand that the lie is that there's not an adequate place for you to use your gifts in the home. There is. And so women have left the home for more glamorous careers. And yet, I want you to understand what we are seeing about it in part, not completely. A large part of it has to do with men abandoning their responsibilities as well. But the homes of America, the houses of America, are in a deplorable condition because of that. For instance, we have how many latchkey children who leave without their parents being there, who come home without parents being there. And I, for one, think it's very hypocritical to prosecute the, quote, home alone parents when, in fact, we promote home alone children every day. It's an ungodly thing. Why is it? Well, in part, not just because of women, but in part it's because foolish women tear their homes down with their own hands, because we don't listen to what the Word of God has to our place. We see undisciplined and immoral children everywhere. Why is that? Well, there are a lot of factors, but part of it is that we have foolish women tearing down their own homes with their own hands. In order to understand Proverbs 14, we have to go to Proverbs 31. I think you can see the comparison and the contrast. And I want you to understand what it takes to build your home, what it takes to be a wise woman. A wise woman will build her house. And so I want to talk about that. And I think what we see is in the Proverbs, the woman of Proverbs 31, the excellent wife, we see the ideal. Now again, I want to remind you that none of us measures up to the ideal. None of us measures up to the ideal that is set before us as men in the second chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, when it talks about the qualifications for elders, or in Titus chapter 1. None of us measure up, but it is something for which we should strive. So what should we do? Well, there are a lot of things that we ought to look at here, and we'll touch on some of them. First of all, if you would build your house, if you would be a wise woman, be godly. You know, that really covers all the ground. Just be godly. And we look at verses 30 and really just verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, we'll talk about beauty and other things a little bit later, but I want you to see that there's a contrast here. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In that verse, we see two concepts. One is that physical attributes are useless for godliness. In the long run, they do not amount to very much. In fact, it is something which is a losing battle, because the aging process will overtake us all. As someone said, in allusion to this, I think it was somebody who had heard it when I was in college, but in jest said, you know, kissing wears out, but cooking don't, or something like that. And I don't know whether that's exactly accurate or not, but that's kind of a parody of what this is. That physical attributes in the long run are useless for godliness. And I want to tell you, you young men who are not yet married, that there's a lot more in looking for a wife than just physical appearance. And I want to tell you that the beauty that God desires you to look for is the beauty of a heart that fears the Lord. And that makes all the difference in the world. So physical attributes are useless for godliness, but the fear of the Lord beautifies the life and the countenance. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 is a passage wherein we see the attributes that God would have you young ladies to develop, and you older women as well. Verse 3 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, "And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You see the quality that is there? It is the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. By the way, if you'll notice there, ties back to 14:1, Proverbs 14:1. Notice that she says that you're the descendants of Sarah. You're the house of Sarah. Sarah has built your house if you develop those kinds of qualities. The fear of the Lord governs your conduct. The fear of the Lord also improves with age. It just gets better and better. And the fear of the Lord increases your value. You know, when the proverb says, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels, that is true. Your value is far, far above rubies. Why? Because wise women are hard to find. One of the things that I fear for my sons, one of the things that this I don't fear, I know the Lord is able, but one of the great concerns that I have for my sons, they'll be able to find godly women, women who fear the Lord. They're hard to find. And wise women are more valuable than all the world's treasures. And so I would say to you husbands, you value, you cherish your wives. They're the most precious possessions that God has given to you. You tell them how much you value them, and you love them as Christ loved the church. You ladies, if you would build your house, you'd be godly. Fear the Lord. Govern your conduct by the word of God. Secondly, if you would build your house, be responsible and loyal. Those two qualities need to be cultivated in your lives, and not just for women, but for men at all. But be responsible and loyal. Notice what it says here in verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Be responsible. Be loyal. Because this is the way you build your house. You carry out the responsibilities given to you so that your husband need not be concerned about them. The Victorian idea of a wife who does nothing but sits there to be admired is not the biblical idea. She is to be admired. She is a hard-working woman. She is one who indeed has responsibilities, and very demanding responsibilities. We've lost sight of that in our culture. But the woman who is carrying out her responsibilities before the Lord has a very demanding challenge in front of her. She has many responsibilities. And there are things that you ought to be doing so that your husband doesn't need to think about them. And if you've ever tried to have your husbands think about some of those responsibilities, you see what a lousy job we do and how we bungle it because we can't keep track of everything that you keep track of. We can't do it. I remember when Bunny was in the hospital, she wanted to make certain that I got the children to their play at school. And this was while she was in the hospital, and the whole church was helping us out. And so basically, we had a meal that was brought into our home. All I had to do was pop it in the microwave and then basically clean up and then get the children to go. And Calvin was just a tiny fellow at that point in time, so... I was so proud of myself. I piled all the kids into the car, and we were on the way down to the school, and we got to the school earlier than we were supposed to be, and I thought, boy, I've got everything in charge. And Kimberly jumps out and runs in, and Robert jumps out of the car, and he runs in, and Alondra jumped out of the car, and she ran in. I got into the back, and I got Calvin out. It is December. Snow is falling in the ground, and I reach in and I grab Calvin, and I said, Calvin, where are your shoes and socks? I hadn't put shoes and socks on this poor child. And we had to go to this affair because I'd forgotten the minor detail of Calvin. And those are not the only things that I forgot. But you have responsibilities that you must carry out, and the wise woman is one who carries out those responsibilities so that we aren't concerned about them. And then the other thing that you see here is the idea of loyalty. Promote your husband's reputation and well-being in speech and conduct. Wives, one of the things that you also need to understand is that there is a basic difference in the way the Lord made us beyond the obvious ones, and that is that your husband will find a great deal of his focus of attention upon his work, and your focus of attention will be on your husband, and that doesn't mean that you're any less valuable. But if you lose sight of that you will gain, you will fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to you through that focus. That's what God created you for. Genesis chapter 2, God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone, so he made a help suitable for him. Adam's responsibilities were to tend the garden, and Eve's responsibilities were to assist her husband. And so one of the things that you need to understand is that your responsibility is to promote your husband's reputation and well-being in speech and in conduct. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Martin Luther wrote this. He said, "The greatest gift of God is a pious, amiable spouse who fears God, loves his house, and with one with whom one can live with confidence." With whom one can live with confidence. And that means that you're loyal and that you're responsible. And what those, some of the things that transfer out, and there are a whole lot more things that we could say that we don't have the time for this evening, but some of the things that you need to do is you need to give him counsel with submission, with meekness. You need to give him counsel because we are not, the Lord made it so that the two would become one flesh. And husbands need your counsel, but they need it with gentleness, with meekness, not with an air of authority, because he's not going to take it. That's going to cause some problem. But he does need your counsel. I don't know how many scrapes I have been kept out of because Bunny has given me correction with gentleness. Some of the things that I've just never been able to see, she has a perception of. She understands things that I just don't understand. And when I have listened to her, I have profited. It doesn't mean that all of her counsel has been what I would receive, but nonetheless, it's always been valuable to give me another perspective. And a woman, and you see, your husbands, if they know that you're loyal, if they know that you're responsible, will receive that counsel because they know you aren't just out to get them. We're all a little paranoid, you know, and when our wives start correcting us, we begin to become threatened by that. But if you have been the kind of wife who has been responsible and loyal, he will listen to your counsel. But you must also receive his decisions with submission. He's not always going to take your counsel. And this is another thing I would say to you wives. The wise woman builds her house. The foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. One of the things that I would say to you wives and to you prospective wives as well, you must allow your husbands, or your prospective husbands as it were, you must understand that you must give him the opportunity to fail without being told, "I told you so." That's a very important thing, because what happens in a home if there is this constant, "I told you so," is your husbands will abandon the assuming of their responsibilities. They're going to say, "Okay, if you're so smart, if you have it right, you do it. I'm not going to risk it anymore." And I'm serious about that. That is a solemn thing. You must give your husbands the opportunity to fail without being told, "I told you so." It's very important. And then another very important matter of this loyalty thing is that you must speak of him to others with respect and with charity. One of the most damaging things that can happen is to tear your husband down in front of others, to talk about his defects and his mistakes, to laugh at him, to make fun of him, to ridicule him. And it happens, and we have to guard our speech. One of the things that I have always valued about Bunny, one of the things that she always did, and the Lord knows that she knows enough about me to put me away for a lot of years, I suppose, but you know what I'm saying when I talk about those things. And yet the way that she would encourage the children and build up their expectation for when I would come home, she would speak highly of me in front of the children so that my children respected me in spite of all of my failures. And she would speak of me to others with respect and charity. She has always been one who has assumed responsibilities and who has been loyal to me. And she is a wife who is without price. And I know that there are others here as well. So be responsible. Be loyal to your husbands and to your children, and you will build your house. A third matter here is, if you would build your house rather than tear it down, be industrious. Now, again, this is where I don't want you to get under the pile, because the things that the woman of Proverbs 31 does, she had a pretty full schedule, and I know you do too. And yet this matter of industry is something that we all need, and it's something that husbands as well as wives should approach. But I want to tell you something, that there are more problems with idleness among Christian women than can be mentioned this evening. We have a lot of servants in the house that we don't recognize, things that make life in the home easier. And one of the things that I have experienced as a pastor in the past, not so much here but in other places, I have experienced difficulties in the church because there have been women who have had too much time on their hands. And it is a difficult thing. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 1 Timothy 5:13. And by the way, it's not just women. If men have too much time on their hands, they can be a real pain too. Idleness is the devil's workshop, as the Puritans used to say. But 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. This is speaking about widows. And he says, "And at the same time they also learn to be idle, younger widows, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." You have too much time to use your speech in an improper way, you will do so. And then Titus also has something to say about that in the second chapter, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Well, I'd better get to Titus instead of 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." And let me tell you something, if you have too much time, if you're using your speech in an improper way, you are causing the name of the Lord to be dishonored. And that is a severe thing. So be industrious. Be industrious. And what should you be industrious about? Well, first of all, be industrious about your household chores. Verses 13 and 14. "She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar." Be industrious with your household chores. Set the example to your children for labor, and you do it with delight. I know that those things aren't always easy to delight in, but you do it with delight. She works with her hands in delight. And that's something we need to cultivate. And then as you're industrious in the household chores, one of the things we see here is the shopping. She's like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. Set the example for thrift as well. Search for the bargains. That's a good thing to do. A good wife will do that. You'll be thrifty, and you'll be teaching your children thrift as well. Be industrious in your household chores. Be industrious in the management of your home. Verses 15 and verse 21. "She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens." And verse 21. "She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." And there are several things about this particular matter of industriousness and management of your home. First of all, you plan and govern your daily routine. And when I say that, planning is one of the most difficult things to do. One of the things that I try to encourage Bunny to do particularly, since we live so far out, is when you go to town, think of everything that you have to do while you're in town. Don't go out and then come back, and then go out and come back, and go out and come back, and go out and come back, and then get back at the end of the day and say, I forgot the toothpaste. Don't do that. Make yourself a list, go over the list, and then say, okay, what can I do together? Planning is so important. Plan, and then govern your daily routine, and make certain that you don't do it all, especially if you have children. This verse, 15th verse says, she gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. It's not talking about food. What it's talking about is assignments. Okay, Kimberly, you're going to do the dishes. Alondra, you're going to do the vacuuming. Robert, you're going to mow the front lawn. Calvin, you're going to milk the goat, and you're going to make certain that something else is done. And Jonathan, pick up your room. Okay, I'm not going to do it for you. Bunny came in the other day. We just took Kimberly to school. Bunny came in. She says, I'm a failure as a mother. I said, why? You should see the way Kimberly left her room. Well, she didn't leave it, and she expects her mother to do it. It's not because her mother hasn't expected to in the past. But part of that idea of managing the home is you plan and you govern the daily routine. You delegate your responsibility, and you train your children to assume responsibility. That's how you build your house. You train your children to assume responsibility. And I know you're going to say, but you don't understand my children. It's easier to do it myself. Listen, I know. It's easier to do it yourself. That's my attitude. Get out of here. I'll do it myself. That's easier in the short run, but it is not easier in the long run, and it is not good for your children. Insist that your children assume that responsibility. So plan and govern your daily routine. And then plan ahead for future needs as well. That's why she's not afraid of the snow for her household, because she's looked ahead to the future and she has made provision for them, and their clothing is all set for the winter. She's looked ahead. That comes about by management, by planning, by looking ahead. How far should you plan? Bunny right now is picking up clothes for the children for next summer because they're on sale now as we go into the winter. And at the end of the winter, you can pick up the clothes for next winter at a bargain price if you shop at the end of the winter. You have to plan ahead, but you can do it. Be industrious in the management of your home. Be industrious in the use of your time. Verse 15 again, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. And then a little bit later on in verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Now, I don't think that is necessarily saying that she gets up while it's dark and goes to bed at dark. She's working the whole time. But I would say this, if you're planning your time, you ought to use it well. Beware of wasting time. Beware of wasting it in many different ways. Use your time in a wise way. Get up at a decent hour in the morning. I know definitions of decent may be different. But get them up and get your children going in the morning, and use it, and then if necessary, do your work in the evening. But also, when I say that, and this is what I have to stay on my wife about, when your family is together, you spend time with them too. You learn also how to quit and spend some time with them also. It is true, a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Well, that's true. It's true for men too. In many respects, our work is never done, but we have an easier time of leaving it behind and picking it up again when we go back to work. Your work is always there. Be industrious in the use of your time. Be industrious in the use of your talents as well. A wife may be involved in many different things. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. And then later on, it talks about making coverings for herself and clothing and linen. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. And on it goes. She's industrious in the use of her talents. A wife may be involved in business activity and even contributing to the finances of home without being outside of her home. It's a possibility of doing that, and more possibility as things go on. There are a lot of things that can be done. Be industrious in the use of your talents. Don't let them sit on a shelf. If you have gifts and abilities, develop them. If you have musical talents, develop it. If you have artistic talents, develop them. If you have business acumen, develop it. But find a way to do so in the home and train your children in those things. Be industrious in the use of your talents. Be industrious in caring for yourself. And here's where beauty comes in again. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. In verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Yes, you're industrious in all of those things, but also you are concerned with your appearance. You are concerned with your health. You are concerned with the strength of your body and of your soul. So you ought to take care of your bodies, and you ought to take care of appearance. There are a lot of difficulties that are related to poor health, spiritual problems. If you get too tired, it can affect the way you act. It can result in discouragement and unbelief. It can result in all kinds of things. You take care of yourself. You do take care of your bodies, and you do take care of your appearance. You ought to be as attractive as you can possibly be. I don't want to put it I just remember the president of our university speaking to the young women on campus who thought that somehow it was spiritual if they didn't wear any makeup. And he put it in a fairly blunt way. He says, "Look, ladies, if the barn needs painting, paint it." Now, what I'm saying is you do take care with your appearance. Not to an extreme, because it's deceitful, it's vain, but it is a part of being a godly woman. And not necessarily, you don't necessarily need makeup, but on the other hand, there's nothing inherently wrong with it either. And be industrious in your spiritual nurture as well. You have all of these things to do, and when you've done those, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well at the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's engaged in teaching both in the home and outside of the home. She's nurturing people spiritually as well. She has a word of encouragement for those who are discouraged. And also, as you go down here a little bit elsewhere, well, I can't find the verse right now, but it speaks of her duties outside the home as well. I'm not going to be able to find. Oh, it's verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy, inside and outside of the home. Be industrious in your spiritual nurture. And let me remind you again that the course of future generations is being set by wives with young children. A fourth thing here, that if you would build your house, you need to cultivate contentment. And for this, we'd look again at verse 18. The wise woman senses that her gain is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. That has another meaning, and that means that she's made adequate preparation. The oil lamps will burn. But notice also here, she senses that her gain is good. She understands the value of what she's doing. Now, that's hard to do. We've talked about it before. It's hard to understand and to grasp the value of what you're doing when you're up to your elbows in dirty diapers. I know that. But you need to understand. You need to go back to the Word of God and understand. First of all, you need to be confident in the value of your calling. You're keepers at home. You're guardians of the home. And you need to be confident that God has called you to that. And then you need to be satisfied with the progress of that calling. And as I mentioned last week, I believe it was, it is a wonderful thing for me as a father now, and I don't know what the Lord will do. God has been gracious to us. But as I look at my older children and my younger children as well, I would say this: I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And through all of the trials that I've had as a pastor, and through all the disappointments and the discouragements and the failures that I have experienced and seen, That is one of the things that God has always given to me. As I've been able to look at my children, I've known that in my children, my gain is good. That God has blessed that. And there's nothing better than that. And you women, you wives, you look at your children. I know you see all kinds of flaws, but look beyond the flaws and see the value of what you're doing and the potential of what you're doing. Because as you are faithful, you will not only understand from the Word of God by faith that your gain is good, but you will also be able to look at the fruit of your children, their households, and you will be able to see that your gain is good, that it's worthwhile. I guarantee you, you will not look back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't spent so much time with the children. Oh, I wish I hadn't spent so much time in the home. You will be grateful that you have done so. So build your house by cultivating contentment. And finally, as you build your house, understand that you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. What that tells me is that you'll be blessed with security. When you can smile at the future, when you understand that your future is secure in your home and with your husband and with your children, that's a great blessing that many do not enjoy. You will be honored by your family. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Amen. The praise of your family, children rising up and saying, you are blessed. Husbands saying, you know, of all the women that I've known in the world, you're the best of them all. It's a great thing. That's a great blessing. And you'll be recognized for your work. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gate. May I conclude with the reading of one brief sentence from Matthew Henry? As he comments on this particular passage of Proverbs 31, he says, thus and once more is shut up this looking glass for ladies, which they are desired to open and dress themselves by. And if they do so, their adorning will be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Christ. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Father, I want to stand before you this evening and bless you and praise you for the godly women that you have put in my life and that you brought into this congregation. Lord, indeed, we praise and bless you for the influence of godly mothers, grandmothers. We thank you, O Father, for the training that took place in our homes. We praise you and thank you also for godly wives. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us this word that directs us, that we as husbands and children may be thankful and grateful and may express that thanksgiving and encourage our wives and mothers. And Lord, we thank you also for the instruction that you give to wives, that they can look unto your word and be directed and know indeed that their calling is sure and valuable. And we beg, Lord, that you will give to each of us an appreciation for you and a submission to you, and that you would grant to those who are assembled here and those who are not able to be here this evening, give to them that wisdom, Father, that they may build their house. And spare, Father, that they may not tear it down with their own hands. Grant these things for the praise, honor, and glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's conclude our service this evening by turning in our hymnals once more to our closing hymn. Hymn number 86. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world, his world, rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Hymn 86. Let's stand as we sing.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voice. Says. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now, and abide with you forevermore. Amen.